Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
That's right, the Survivor Know-It-Alls are back together once again this week to talk about episode number 8 of Survivor 43. Steven Fishback, how are you?
Rob, it's so nice to be speaking to you. How is it with... Sorry, I was on the wrong mic.
Okay, you were coming in a little hot. Yeah, okay.
How is it now being back, you know, among the plebeians after your week of hobnobbing with all your celebrity friends at the National
Press? Yes, we had a great time last week. Really fun show. I can't believe it's been a week since we did the live show on last Wednesday night. It was really, really a super fun night, and a great time was had by all, as far as I have heard. But that being said, I just want to say, I thought that you did such a great job of holding down the fort last Wednesday night with PG. I love getting to listen to you.
That's so nice.
The podcast.
Wow, that's really, really nice. No, PG made it easy. I mean, she was a great guest, and she had, you know, all kinds of great insights about the show and the season. So it was a pleasure to talk to her, you know, have someone a little insightful on the other side of the camera for once.
Yes. And it was really nice to got to see you even on my road trip briefly. I realized it was the first time 2.5 years since I saw you in person.
That's wild. So. And I almost screwed it up. I had the wrong, we met at the Tata Cafe, not the Tata Bushman Cafe, but I got the wrong one. There were two Tata non-Bushman cafes within about a 2 mile radius. And I almost screwed it up, Rob.
Okay. But we're here back together tonight to talk about an episode of Survivor that I saw on your Twitter that you were giving some praise and props to the Survivor editors for this one.
I truly got it wrong. Well, first of all, I should have a mea culpa. I was like, Janine is safe now. No one's coming for Janine. She lost her ally. She lost her idol. Who on earth would take out Janine? And I stand by the fact that that was the correct attitude. However, I was wrong about who on earth would take out Janine, because these people, they took out Janine. But I truly thought it was going to be a Ryan blindside. The whole episode was about Sammy and Sammy's move. And like, I don't want to just do the expected thing. And then you kind of, at the end, you sort of had James and Cody being like, well, you know, maybe we do the expected thing. And I really thought it was Ryan going home.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a lot to talk about on what did and didn't happen in this episode as we break it all down. On Thursday, I will have an exit interview with Janine, who really, when you take a look at it, I think maybe one of the most hard luck survivors there ever was.
She's the Charlie Brown of Survivor. She
really had a tough 16 days, I think, for Janine from back in like the very first challenge, gets a big cut on her face and really is dealing with that the whole time that she's on television here. Then, of course, her and Ellie, they have an alliance, of course, and they got the whole thing of going on with, okay, they're going into Gabler's bag, and maybe in the real time, like, did not seem as bad as it ultimately did turn out for her ultimately in the game. She finally gets the chance to go. She goes off to the Shipwheel Island, or she ends up finding a idol, but then immediately, like, that idol ends up being like, they tell Gabler that it's an active idol. She goes to Shipwheel Island. She loses her vote. Ellie gets blindsided, and then she lets somebody hold her idol. That idol ends up going out of the game, not in the way we thought. Here she is,
not out of the game.
Yeah, but then we totally get blindsided. I guess in the edit, it definitely seemed like that Janine was not going to go home, and then ultimately she does. So tough couple of weeks here for Janine. Looking forward to talking with her on Thursday on the Survivor exit interview. And then we have a real treat for me and the listeners all together, as Christian Hubicki, your friend and mine, will join us to talk about where we are here at the final 10 of Survivor 43. So really looking forward to that. Kirsten McInnes will join me on the Survivor Feedback Show coming up on Friday night. If you have questions here for the know-it-alls, you can post them in the chat and we will get into them later on in the show. Steven, the move to vote out Janine, was that the right call?
Gosh, I don't know. Because I was so sure it was Ryan, and because I was so sure that Ryan was a terrible choice, I haven't even really, like, I spent the whole episode, you know, like, mentally composing in my head why it was an awful choice to vote out Ryan. I guess that means, in contrast, it was an okay choice to vote out Janine.
Well, I think we have to talk about it from the perspectives of the, you know, some of these different subsets out there.
It's like, for who, for sure. That's a good, that's what it is. Because, okay. I mean, I'm a big fan of when you've got a group together, you know, at least get one vote done. You know, like, don't reshuffle the deck chairs as soon as you've got a group together. But then you're right, like, what power structures are you reaffirming by voting as a group, by eliminating other options? You know, for Sammy, not a great, I mean, I think Sammy was right here. Like, why am I going with these people when I'm probably at the bottom of those people? So for Sammy, it was not a good move to vote out Janine.
Well,
for
Owen, actually, let's talk it through from Sammy's perspective, because he's really the person who puts this all in motion. It seems like, okay, it's going to be Owen. Owen ultimately wins the immunity. And now, okay, the bigger group has to scramble. And now there's a little bit of an opening for, okay, oh, well, maybe let's do something that's a little bit more outside of the box. And also with Janine, that she lost the idol. Let's talk more about that in a little bit. That she is potentially somebody who maybe people aren't thinking about as much. And Sammy is the person who is feeling like, hey, okay, well, maybe there's a bigger move to be had. I feel like that Sammy might have had a better shot to do this, that I feel like that he wanted to sort of like have his cake and eat it too. I feel like that Sammy, who I think is playing a super interesting game, one of my favorite people to watch in this season because of how hard he's playing.
And how young he is.
And how young he is, for sure. Yeah. But Steven, he would like to see Ryan go out of the game, but I think he wanted to have Ryan go out of the game, but also not lose the trust of some of the key stakeholders at Coco, specifically in Carla and James. And so I think he wanted to have Ryan go out of the game and wanted to get everybody on board with it. And I think at the end of the day, I think that for Carla and for Ryan, that I think they kind of like sobered up and said, wait, that doesn't really make a lot of sense for us. What are we doing here? Why would we do that?
For Carla and James. Yes, exactly. Because, I mean, first of all, I think Sammy was taking the right path. You know, I was very nervous out of the gate when Sammy was talking about making a big move and getting one other person on board.
As was I.
And you think, you know, you're in that position, you want to be the flip-flopper, and that person always goes next, right? The person who's like, I'm in this group, now I'm in that group. At some point, that person's, you know, unless they're Tony Vlachos,
right,
truly like the exception that proves the rule, that person's luck runs out.
Especially when James sees him talking with Owen and with Janine. It seems like, it definitely seemed like that there was a realistic possibility this whole thing is going to collapse back in on Sammy. It does not.
And, you know, so therefore, like, him kind of pitching it to Carla and to James, I think, was very smart. I think pitching it to Carla first was smart, you know, probably obviously less of a bond between Carla and Ryan. Then obviously Cassidy's on board with it. And then it really kind of stalls out with James and Cody, who have much less of a reason to get rid of Ryan. And in fact, have great reasons to keep Ryan.
Right. I really feel like that it was Cody and Jesse. I honestly ironically, I feel like that it was the two guys that were from Vessi who recently came over to Coco, I think, who were probably the most against this, and then sort of like got James backpedaling on this, because we saw Cody saying that he like was like, well, why are we doing this? Like, it seems like, why don't we just stick to the plan? And it's interesting that Janine, you know, had such a close relationship with Dwight. And I feel like that it, maybe it was looked at as that Janine was also like kind of like another part of the Dwight Noel alliance, that like they were close enough where, you know, Janine is feeling close enough to give her idol to Dwight. Those guys from Vessi are not super close with the people that were from Baca. It seems like that maybe like Dwight and Noel were the people that were really trying to secure that relationship with Baca. And so I feel like for them, I feel like they're like, well, I think that this helps our position to have more of these Baca people out of the game, specifically Janine, who has no allegiances except maybe to Noel at this point. And to Owen, who is not really working with Jesse and Cody.
Right. And I mean, if Ryan is more of a free agent for Cody and Jesse, then keeping Ryan around, who has maybe some bad blood with the Coco tribe, you know, with Cassidy, obviously, and, you know, potentially less of a, you know, less of a connection with Carla, you know, that is an inroad for them down the road. I mean, so that's like, I think what it comes down to is like, what are the dynamics of the seven, which is, you know, a really good name for an alliance. It's also the name of like the Fortnite pantheon. So I, you know, couldn't tell, was this Wednesday night or my Thursday night Fortnite game? A lot of focus on the seven tonight. Mm-hmm.
Learning so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think, give me the breakdown from your perspective of like, what are the power dynamics of the seven?
So I feel like that on the one hand, you know, you have the Coco people, which I think is, you know, Carla and James, and Cassidy is like, you know, really trying to like hold a position like in that power structure of the three people from Coco. Ryan is sort of just like, you know, a number for them. He's out fishing most of the day. He's not really worried about like what's going on, but I think they feel like, okay, this is somebody that's just in our pocket. And now you have the Vessi people also. And then I feel like that Sammy is sort of, I don't know how much he's in the inner circle there. I think that like there was like some people that were surprised that Sammy was on board with the vote, but Sammy has a knack of knowing what's going on all the time. He's voted correctly. All three votes.
And given his position, like that's a pretty tough spot to be in. Mm-hmm. So who's on the bottom of the seven? I mean, is Sammy on the bottom? Oh, so
no.
Here's I have two questions. Okay, who's on the bottom of the seven?
I think Ryan is on the bottom, and I really I want to talk more about Cassidy also.
Yeah. B is, where does Ryan think he is in this group?
I think because he's the top four.
When Ryan like, you know, decided after the challenge, like, hey, I need to just like lay out my plans before I can go fishing. Who did he approach? I actually don't remember, because like he went to some people. We saw him like just kind of like laying it out. Who are the people?
I'm pretty sure we saw him talking to Gabler a lot. Yeah, I mean that the Gabler and Ryan, like they're a little bit of like sort of like to bring back the Survivor of the Amazon, like, you know, the Butch and Matt, like, you know, okay, I'm like, all right, yeah, these two want to go be the providers, like, all right, like just go let them go off and do their own thing, you know, like if they're not super active and strategic. And with all due respect to both of those guys, I think that they might be, you know, sort of like the least schemey and strategic people in the season. They seem to sort of gravitate towards each other. I feel like that they're sort of like playing a different game.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, I mean, it really seems like the Janine vote is actually probably the right vote for a lot of these people.
It seemed like to me that it was just like, if this was like a round in the poker hand, like I think everybody just basically like checked this hand. Like everybody was like, okay, I am fine with losing Janine. You know, you heard Owen say at the tribal council, the line that really, you know, stuck with me is Owen's like, I don't care what seat I have on the bus. I just want to be on the bus. I just want to be part of the group decision that is going along and making it to the next round. It's interesting that the one person that felt like that this vote was kind of like a line in the sand vote tonight was Cassidy. And somebody who, at least from what we saw, was not super involved in the planning here about this. But, you know, we go back to Cassidy. There was some issue with Cassidy, Cassidy versus Ryan and Gio from the pre-merge. And there was some bad blood there, which was not really part of the show that we don't really exactly know. So it's unclear. You know, I did hear Cassidy did mention the word revenge about going after Ryan. And she talked about also about how, you know, there have been so many women that have been voted out of the game. And
well, thank God they finally brought that up on the show, because it was certainly becoming extremely evident to everybody else, you know, watching it, that now there are seven men left in the game and there are three women, Cassidy, Carla, and Noel. Right.
With Gio and Dwight being the only men voted out of the game. And so, like, you totally can see why Cassidy is feeling like, okay, let's keep Janine in the game, because, you know, between Janine and Noel, and like maybe there's a possibility of, you know, that the women could do something together. And, you know, there was like some direct questioning of James in this episode. Like, why do you want to keep all these guys around? Is it just to protect you and to have like these sort of like these big, strong guys around to sort of like keep you safe in the game? And so it was just, I thought it was very interesting just how passionate Cassidy was, not just about wanting to go for this vote, but to the point where she was one of the people that wrote down Ryan's name. And I guess my question for you, Stephen, is, did Cassidy get blindsided here tonight? Did Cassidy go into that tribal council thinking that this was going to be a vote against Ryan?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it was. My guess is that Cass, you know, she's just like, I'm not going to, I mean, she refused to write Janine's name down because she thought, you know, she didn't want to vote for another woman. I mean, or she, you know, thought it was a bad choice strategically. Like, I would be surprised if that was, I mean, do you think she was left out of it?
Is it possible that maybe there was a thought of that Janine could play the shot in the dark and maybe Ryan was going to be voting for Cassidy in this scenario? Is that possible?
Not really, right? She
should write down another person's name just in case.
I don't know. I mean, my guess is that, I mean, I guess it's conceivable that they thought, you know, Janine would play the shot in the dark, but you know, she was a Ryan vote already. Maybe she thought like just stack another vote on Ryan. So if it does go sideways, he's the guy who goes home. Let's talk about who are the people who are hurt most by the Janine vote. I mean, obviously Owen, and Gabler to a certain extent, but among the seven, the people who are hurt most,
Noel,
from my perspective, Noel, for sure. Yeah. And then probably Cassidy, right? Are they the two people who are most hurt? Because they're the ones who have fewer options now.
Right. The people that are actually closer to the bottom, the people that would flip from the seven, I think are the people that are most hurt by Janine going out of the game. But it feels like that for a lot of the people that were at the bottom, I think that they're sort of just trying to keep their powder dry and wait till the next vote when they have a better chance to flip. One of the things that I had thought about coming into this episode, it is an odd numbered group. Okay. And so that we have the perfect person to talk about vote steal with.
Yeah.
Now, if you had the group of Noel and Janine and Owen and Gabler, okay.
And maybe Cassidy,
or maybe Sammy, and Noel has a vote steal. What was this? And in the preview, Noel's like, I'm playing my vote steal. Although there are two votes in the next episode, so it could be a 10 or a 9. But
this was the vote. This was the episode. I mean, from the story we were sold, where it was a real tweener, I think this was the episode. I think this was the move to make. That's sort of where I was kind of going with those questions about like who is left out. Like, you know, the numbers were there. And again, like we suffer a lot, I think, because it's a 26 day game. There's a little bit less time for any vote, you know, for any vote to come together in a complicated way. You know, the 26 days obviously puts a lot, there's a lot less time for any individual vote, meaning there's a lot less time to sort of create new groupings. And it gives the dominant alliance a lot more inherent power. I think this was the move. That was the move to make for that group.
Yeah. You know, also was the idea to target Ryan, who, you know, seems like, I know you are the biggest Ryan stan out there. You love Ryan.
I love Ryan.
Seems like one of the nicest guys ever. Right. Too pure for this game. That, I mean, what does that ultimately do to like, you know, if you're going to make a big move, like if you're from right. Sammy's perspective, okay, we're going to make a move against the seven. Right. I mean, isn't that the person from the seven that is like the least impactful in terms of like making a move against
them?
But
I think, I mean, from Sammy's perspective, it was the person who he could sell the best, right? Mm-hmm. You know, none of those people are going to get super mad.
But he was trying to sell a move to like to blindside their own group of like, okay, well, this is like the least objectionable person in your group. Like, what do you say? And they thought about it. Yeah,
they did. I mean, of course, with Survivor, you know, everybody's, you know, nowadays it's like you never even think, oh, that's my ally. You're like, ooh, wouldn't this be fun?
I do think that the move, like the players want to, you know, play. I don't want to say big moves, but the players are there. The game is short. You only have so many tribal councils.
Well, right. You've got to get rid of the threats. Everybody's
excited to play hard and do cool stuff. So like, is that exciting?
But that's why Ryan would have been a moronic choice, because he's like out there fishing every day. He's not a particularly great strategist, loath as I am to say that. And that's the guy you want to keep, the guy who's like 100% straightforward. He just is going out fishing. Right. He's not really strategizing at all.
So
the perfect person to keep in this game.
If you're Sammy, then why not think about like, okay, let's go for Carla. Let's go for James. Let's go for Jesse or Cody.
Yeah. And I think that's the challenge. It's like Sammy, but like then if Sammy did that, then like, again, like, you know, he's already probably broken trust with Owen and Janine, and then he's breaks trust with that other group. So it's a tough one, because like, I don't think that's a great move. Like abstractly, that's a great move. You know, if those six people could have gotten together, you know, if Gabler, Owen, Janine, Cassidy and Noelle had gotten together and been like, let's take out James, that would have been an awesome move. For Sammy as an individual to flip from one group to the other, it's not such a good move.
Mm-hmm. I think the challenge for Sammy is that he doesn't have like his people, you know, like I feel like that he himself is sort of like, willing to go from group to group.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I feel like that he's trying to just like play this game like completely like as a mercenary solo. And I'm trying to think if that person has ever been able to successfully do that and get to the end. Like
even Tony,
he had Trish, like a Woo Sarah. Or like or Nick Wilson or like these Trish. Other people that were just Trish, that people that were like following him and sort of like going, like, I'm trying to think if there's anybody that's been able to pull off what Sammy is seemingly doing. And maybe he feels like Gabler is that person, but Gabler didn't come with him on the last vote. So it's going to be, I think, very fun to watch. Like, I think that we have a lot of people of this group of 10, at least 9 people are playing like pretty hard. I think this is going to be a really fun end game to watch. I want to talk about Jesse. Okay.
Yeah.
And Jesse, like, I really believe Jesse was not on board with the idea of taking out James. Much would prefer to take out Janine. We found something out tonight, Stephen.
Oh, it was a fun reveal.
What a switcheroo.
Yeah.
That we found out that actually what happened was Dwight actually handed the idol that Janine handed to him to Jesse. Before the tribal council. Now, first off, Stephen, I was a little upset about this.
What? Oh, because of the false bill of goods that Dwight said.
I had the chance to speak to Dwight on Thursday. And I said, Dwight, can you confirm that the idol did not go back to Janine, like and again, like maybe he's like plausible deniability.
Yeah, not go back to Janine. Yeah.
I was like, can you confirm that you left the game? I believe I asked the question. Can you confirm that the idol went out of the game?
Oh, that's a tough one.
And he said she did not get the idol back.
Oh, good for Dwight, was what he said.
So you tell me, is that a falsehood?
No, it sounds like not. Sounds like you're the sucker for not leaning in.
Yes, I guess so.
But I mean, this was great, and the way that they did it was great in terms of. They have all these, like, it's flying back and forth. Oh, the idol's gone. Mm-hmm. And then, like, out of nowhere, it just is like, aha. The fact that Dwight was so committed to the bit, even, you know, after he's out of the game, after he's doing his exit press, like, kudos, Dwight. Yeah. That's awesome.
Now, of course, not the first time that a Survivor contestant tells a falsehood in a Survivor exit interview.
Well, that's why you can't believe these things, Rob. I keep telling you, it's not canon.
Yes. Okay. So let me just go ahead and bring in that. So Dwight has gone to Twitter, Okay.
Oh, wow.
And from his account, he says, not verified, okay. And now again, like, he didn't win Survivor, so it doesn't have the $8, Stephen, okay? One thing I learned from all my years of interviewing, how to answer a question and dodge a question at the same time to the exit press interviewers, I didn't say anything that isn't true.
Wow. Hmm.
Okay? All right. So, boy, now, do I have to swear these people in on the exit interviews, Stephen? Can I get a bailiff here with me in the studio?
What's the Bible you, bailiff. That you would swear? Yeah. What's the Bible that you would swear people in on? Like, what is the holy text?
I think it's probably the 49 laws of Survivor.
That's what I think, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So, Jesse, now, interestingly, we saw Marianne end up hold a secret of having the idol that nobody knew about. And end up being able to pull it out at final tribal council. This is so powerful. And Jesse seems to realize this. It's such a big deal to have the one thing people don't know that somebody has in the game.
Yeah. And it was similar to last season where everyone knew where every piece was moving, which is just, again, so wild. What a world. Yeah. It's a great piece of actual hidden information. And also interesting that why do you think Cody did not ask for his idol back? Do you think Cody is still worried about knowledge as power? I'm sure
he did. But like, I don't think he was in, like, Cody is not the kind of guy, I think, who is stressing out about things. I wonder, though, do you feel like that the advantage switcheroo is still happening now at all these other tribal councils? Like, for instance, at this next tribal council, is Cody saying, okay, I'm going to put my idol in this place, and Noelle saying, I'm going to put my vote steal over here. Like, for as long as James has the knowledge is power, that do you think that this is going to continue to happen, that we will see?
That's a great question. A lot of annoying logistics to have to deal with.
A lot of logistics. And then it's like, all right, is this person?
Power advantage.
And then it's like, okay, well, they know that it was this person, but will they think that I gave it to that person again? And then it's like, wait, I don't want to hold the idol, because what if somebody else finds out that I am holding the idol? I could be a target at the tribal council.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy stuff. Another reason that knowledge is power is just a sort of broken advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
it's you know, okay.
It's fine. I think, I think that is certainly that from a game mechanic, I think it has its flaws. I think it has produced some interesting television for us here over these seasons.
Even this one.
Okay.
Interesting.
Steven, I have something else that I need to get off my chest here tonight. Oh. Okay. So tonight we got to have, I knew instantly when we talked about survivors having dreams about food, how hungry everybody was. I know where this is going. Okay, survivors. Of course, it's time for the classic benchmark of any modern Survivor season.
Oh my God.
Time for the survivors to negotiate for the rice.
Is this the most? Oh, I'll let you read, because I'm happy to step in, but you go.
And so Jeff says, okay, well, any smart Survivor player that's worth their salt knows that, okay, there comes this time in the game when we have to negotiate for the rice. And Jeff tells them, okay, so I am going to need a certain amount of people to sit out of the challenge. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all know the established price in the new era of Survivor.
Classic Survivor.
Everybody knows the established cost to get this rice is always five people. That's the cost of doing business. The established cost of having this rice that we all know is five people in the new era of Survivor. And Stephen Fishback, once again, I ask you the simple question. Since when? Never before has five people sat out of the challenge the rice.
Was it four people last season?
It was four people in season 41. And then it was four people in season 42. And it was one person in season 37.
Yeah.
Wow. It's never been five. I think Jeff's thrown out. Well, how about six? And they're like, how about three?
Yeah.
And he's negotiated up to four. Today, everybody knows that's the price. Five.
If he says it confidently, you know, that's like the will to power, right? Like if I say it, then it becomes true. I'm going to warp reality to like be as I believe it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, inflation. It's inflation, Stephen.
I gotta say, it's boring now. Like this is not a fun moment. I don't think. It was kind of fun for the first two seasons, especially when there was a little bit of give and take. But now that Jeff is like, no, I'm not going down, and they're like, well, we're not gonna go up. It's kind of not that interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that the interesting part of it, is sort of like the idea of, okay, oh, the people that feel like they're safe, like, and Jeff used to do this, like really like rake the people over the coals over it. But it was basically like most of the people that were in the majority, it was like what, all the Coco people except for Ryan. And then James has the audacity to say, hey, don't worry, Owen, you're good.
Oh my God. That was the best moment of the whole exchange where, that was sort of like Amanda Kimmel going to Parvati and being like, you should play your idol. I mean, you're safe, or you should not, don't play your idol or whatever it was, whatever she said. It was like, you should play your idol. I mean, it was just like,
you definitely should play your idol tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You should play your idol. Such a bad, a bad job of telegraph, of trying to, I mean, like you're protected. Obviously Owen knew that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. It's insulting.
Yeah. And so, the players that are going to feel the safest, you get them out of the challenge. You know, you do have a better chance of a person who needs immunity like Owen winning. So I understand why they do it. It just seems like, that we're so locked
right,
in.
Right, you're adding drama.
To like, this is what has to happen on this day. And so, I feel like that Survivor is at its best when it's a little unpredictable.
Well, what about, are they just never going to do like the escalating food rewards? I always liked those challenges, like now you get like two cookies.
They don't do challenges that last long enough to have those.
Yeah. It's too bad. You know,
they can't, they don't tempt people anymore. Season.
Yeah. I love the temptation challenges. Those were very fun.
It's always very fun.
Yeah. Well, so who gets the fishy? Is it Ryan? Are you thinking Ryan?
He did get 21 fishies.
Yeah.
What's another one? Maybe Gabler was right. Maybe it was 22 fishies.
Yeah. He threw out Janine's name. I know. Probably someone else threw out Janine's name. Who is it? I mean,
this is a very tough episode to give a fishy for. So
I think it's like, it's got to be the people who were sort of drawing the line in this. Because I do think like when you're in this group, the people in power who were helped by eliminating Janine, right? Like by closing off other options of their allies. Like those are the people who, it's Cody, it's Jay. I think James, I got the sense that James was the one pushing back on it, but you're kind of saying Cody and Justin.
It seems like that James really explored it before coming back on it. Like I wonder if like Cody was the person who really turned
I would love to give a fishy for Cody. It's a pleasure. I don't think he's gotten,
I just feel like that it was that he was the first person that I feel like in the episode is like, why would we do that? Like right. And James, like I think he's a strategist. I think he's willing to like sort of like kick around every single move. But Cody like heard that instantly and was like, no way.
Yeah,
absolutely. And not.
I think this helps the Codys of the world. Although you can make an argument that like Cody and Jesse are not at the top of this power structure, but only if you think that the Coco Four are a foursome, which they're, you know, pretty much clearly not. So I think it probably helps Cody, Jesse the most, to stick with Janine. You know, she's an outlet for other people, not for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like Cody as a fishy award winner.
Yeah. So we are going to have back-to-back tribal councils coming up here in this, or two tribal councils. I'm not sure. It's actually going to be the final 10. Do you think that we will do the thing that is this another staple of the new era? Yeah, the next week we'll go down to five and five.
Yeah,
And okay. Well, let's see what that potentially, has in store for us. Any thoughts off the top of your head?
I mean, so much depends upon, what the split is. I mean, am I right that the last few splits have just kind of like reaffirmed the.
Yeah. The so last season was a little unusual where they went to 5 and 5 and we had the five men that went there. And then that was the Roxroy blindside.
Right.
And then,
right.
And then we saw where Jonathan was trying to make the move to blindside Drea. And that's when. We had where Drea and Marianne played their idols, and ultimately Tori went out. So, it'll be interesting to see what could happen. Where you have four Coco who have been working together. You think that mathematically it's unlikely that all four of them will end up in one tribe. So potentially there could be a gang up on Coco scenario coming up next week, but we'll have we've still got so much to talk about with this episode before we can even get there, Steven.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Steven, we have questions from our listeners, and if you have a question, you could still submit one here in the chat, and we will get to those. But Steven, first, I want to mention the Rob Has a Podcast merch store has gotten a fresh face. You may even say, okay, it's a new era for the merch store as we have made a switch. And of course, you can check out all of our RHAT merch. Yes, nice and clean.
Very, very pretty.
Basically, the biggest difference that we did, really two big differences that in terms of the merch shop, and this is really the time of the year when people are looking for the RHAP merch the most, robiswebsite.com/merch, that we really did a lot of work organizing everything. The last version of the store was very hard to organize everything. It was just sort of like you had to scroll and scroll and scroll. Now everything is laid out in a much more organized fashion. And then the first lady of podcasting has been adding in her expertise in terms of the materials and the shirt provider, helping out with the layout of some of the designs as well. So I think that you should see some, you know, we're very proud of the job that we did with the relaunch of the robswebsite.com/merch store. Also, digital projects like the Evolution of Strategy are available all in the same place, all at robswebsite.com/merch. All right, Stephen, let's go ahead and take some questions from the audience. Okay, Stephen, let's start this one with Karen, a question from Karen. She wants to know, why didn't Dwight tell Janine that Jesse had the idol? She was sitting right in front of him in The Last Tribal.
Dwight and Jesse had, I guess Jesse didn't.
Dwight doesn't tell people the truth.
I think, you know, you're stunned, you're blindsided, you know, he doesn't yet know like fully who voted for him and who didn't. You know, obviously was not expecting to go home, although some scuttlebutt suggests that maybe he was expecting to go home. In his interviews, he kind of like talked a little bit about how he was, which again, like, and also interesting, like that's maybe part of the reason he didn't play the idol for himself was he didn't have it.
Yeah. He said
there was some question, like, why didn't Dwight play the idol?
Well, yeah. Everything Dwight said was true. Didn't he say in his interviews, like, oh, I should have played the idol. I should have played the idol. How could he play it if he didn't have it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He should have played it though.
I'll see you in court, Dwight. Okay. Yeah. Dwight, what is a nice guy.
Yeah.
Lying in exit interviews. Okay.
Lying, Dwight.
Misleading the podcast media.
I mean, this is why I say those interviews are not canon.
That's you are right. You're right about that, Stephen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. We've got a lot of similar questions about that. Okay. All right. How about a question? All right, from Mike wants to know about the vote steal.
All right, Mike Wolf wants to know, would it be possible for Noelle to steal a vote and play her shot in the dark, allowing her to cast one vote? Yeah, I think so. I mean, theoretically, yeah. Because she's sacrificing. I mean, I don't know why she would want to do that.
Okay, so we talked about that. This was the spot for Noelle to do it. Do you think that Noelle could be potentially looking ahead to? All right. Oh, the final 10 is coming, and at the final 10 in the new era, they always do exactly the same things. And so, could she be looking ahead to potentially? If she is in a tribe of five with a vote steal, that is actually an incredibly dangerous spot for anybody who's on her tribe. And she says in the I'm playing my extra vote. So, you know, that it's interesting because that's when she first got it, it was a final five, or it was a final five of, for Vessi, and she didn't play it. That makes whoever is on the group, with Noelle, that I think that, you know, unless it's, four people trying to go against her, then, you know, if she has just one ally there, she's in a very good spot.
Yeah, that's a really great point. That's a very good point. And she, if she's aware of that, that's like, you know, smart of her to, you know, think ahead like that.
Unless James is there also, and then he has the knowledge of power, and then he could steal it from her.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
A lot of shenanigans.
Okay. Lex has a question. Ryan do anything to get himself in better social standing? I mean,
poor Ryan. He tries so hard. He goes fishing. He catches 21 fish and nobody respects him.
Yeah. I mean, is Ryan's issue that he's not in good social standing?
People seem to like Ryan, but they don't. It is interesting. Like, it's just like such a strange person to target. I really can't quite get over that. Like, he's like, I guess because he's like the biggest outsider from that group. But. Just the guy who's playing the game. But, you know, I guess if you're worried about physical threats, although he hasn't really been hugely dominant in challenges.
No, not really. Even in the pre-merge, he was throwing one of the challenges. I know a lot of people were asking about, so he's like doing the challenge and then it has the pole like up against his head. Stephen, did you have any thoughts on that?
I was glad that they let it fly.
Legal move? Yeah.
I think anything that they don't outlaw is allowed. And I think that's like should be always the rule, right?
What?
Like,
how can that be?
Your hands have to be below the
thing.
They didn't say anything about his head. They didn't say talk about his head.
So I can like I could use my head in the challenge.
It obviously wasn't a winning strategy. He didn't like hack the game.
It wasn't a winning strategy, but it's I don't know.
You know, could he have put his foot there? They'd be like, yeah, go ahead, put your foot on the thing. You know, like why not? It's not going to help.
Okay, emerging gameplay.
It's allowed.
Yeah. You know, I think the issue for Ryan is that, you know, nobody, like he had Gio. And other than that, Cassidy is not a fan of his. Carla is like, seems annoyed with Ryan in a lot of we've seen it both in the episodes.
Yeah.
Like remember at the merge feast where she's like, what are you doing? And like, he's pitching a final six or final seven. There was also a secret scene where people are annoyed with him. He's like cutting down trees around the camp that they were using as like drying racks. So the thing is like, nobody is really loving Ryan except for the fact, that he is, catching the fish. So there's nobody that's really going to bat for him. I do wonder like, is he like, do people like think he's a good guy? And if he got to the end, but I feel like that in this era of Survivor, I can't imagine that he's somebody who would get votes. Could he get voted out as sort of like being somebody who could be a goat?
Yeah. I mean, maybe people are worried about him just sort of, you know, winning his way to the end and taking up their spot basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. How about what do you think about this question from Paige?
All right, Paige Burns wants to know, whose game do you think suffers the worst from this vote? Who looks back and says this was the mistake that cost them the game? This is an interesting question. This is sort of what I was trying to get at earlier too, Paige. That's a question. I mean, I think it could be someone like Sammy. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, if like if he loses the room to maneuver later, might feel I should have maneuvered then. I should have flipped things when I had the chance. It could be someone like Noel,
yeah,
who thinks like this was my chance to like, I could have kept Janine. I could have gotten rid of like, you know, James, one of the other power players. It would have opened a lot of doors for me. I would say, honestly, I think Sammy or Noel, and maybe Noel most of all, would be the person to say that.
So I think that, you know, in the game of Survivor, just to use this chess analogy, where Janine, who seems like a, you know, a really fun person to have on the season.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say Janine was a pawn on the board?
I mean, I
at this point in the game.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, she just never had got the kind of, you know, the room under her. But like, you know, when she was on, you know, at the start on Baca, it looked like she and Ellie were running things for a minute.
And so I would say that if there's any person that looks back and regrets that this was like, maybe I should have like done this move. I wonder if it's Carla that ends up losing a pawn here in this, where I always like to look at like who has the most options. So, you know, the Kim Spradlin way of like, okay, you know, I have like a viable path to go this way and a viable path to go this way. And I think that by losing Janine, I think it sort of like cuts off one of the viable paths for Carla of, okay, well, maybe, you know, I could pick up the women and grab them. And maybe, like Sammy and Gabler, and then do something and make a move against the Jesse or James. And it feels like that there were other people that didn't really have any relationship with Janine, like the, you know, Jesse and Cody, or even James. And I feel like that if anybody maybe regrets this down the road, maybe it's Carla.
I mean, I would say that's true. What you just said, I would say is true for someone like Noel or for someone like Cassidy, but I didn't get a sense, or maybe, you know, you studied this more closely than I do, Rob. Like, are Carla and Janine, were they close?
No, I don't think they are, but
that, so I don't I, see that as a path for her. Like, to me, like, what's the alliance she's jumping over
to? Well, I think we're like working with like, you know, the block of four women, I think could be very powerful in the game. And now it's a block of three women.
But Carla has like, from my perspective, Carla has more social control in her group now, right? She has more social control with that,
I think James has the better relationship with Ryan than she does. That ultimately, if it came down to who, like taking one of these pawns off the board, like I think that she probably had like more of a path with the pawn Janine than the pawn Ryan.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like she would go from like sort of the top dog of her little group, which, you know, we're assuming she is. Again, like we impute a lot of like great strategical wisdom to Carla because of her excellent premarch. We've seen very little of her in the last few episodes. I just don't see like it, from what we've seen, she didn't really have leverage in that other group. You know, she would have been basically going from a dominant position in the with the Coco, you know, et cetera group mm-hmm. to a more marginal position with, you know, and it's like if she had made this move.
But it was like it was a move that was with everybody. Yeah. It was like almost like a consensus, right. Like, of these eight or nine people that are voting together, are we all voting consensus against Ryan or all voting consensus right. against Janine? Well,
maybe then the better counter argument is that she would be empowering a group that could sort of overthrow her group, right? She would be giving power to
that's fair.
A Janine, Owen, Sammy group that would have like more leverage against her little alliance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I mean, who are the people that are like the Carla loyalists that are out there?
Right. I mean, we know that James is, and you know, it seems like she and Cassidy have a good relation. Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if James could be the person to overthrow her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish we'd seen, you know, it's hard because I do feel like we are seeing so much tribal council and so little.
Long tribal council tonight.
Another 10-minute tribal council, Rob, out of a 40-minute show.
Get ready for two next week, Steven.
25% of the show is just these sort of
a challenge to do tribal councils next week.
Like vague statements about lies and trust and elaborate bus metaphors. It's like totally divorced from the actual. I hope if any producer is listening to this, know that this is meant in the best, in the like all of my love for Survivor and my desire for it to be the best possible show. But please shorten Tribal Council. It is like it's like saps the energy.
Yeah,
in the show.
I
want to see the beach.
I do feel like, and again, this is we're talking over our pay grade here, that I just feel like that maybe that Tribal Council is sort of like the cheapest segment on the show to produce, where it's sort of like everybody's there, the cameras are on. It's sort of like you could do like they could do a half an hour of Tribal Council. And it's just sort of like,
don't say that, Rob, don't put that out.
No, I'm just saying I think the segments back at camp, like the camp life segments, I think might take the more work to be able to put those together, as opposed to the tribal council stuff is just sort of like the cameras are all locked. You know, you have everybody there.
Like,
everybody's
they never
up,
used to do 10 minute audio. Tribal councils.
They didn't, like, they didn't used to, but,
what an apologist. Like, oh yeah, they've got to do 10 minute tribal councils because it's too much work to edit together a segment for CBS. 8 p.m. prime time.
I'm not apologizing. I'm telling you that I think that's part of the reason.
It's Survivor is too much effort to put on. Let's just do some more tribal council.
Yeah.
Forget it. Okay. Like I actually think that makes my point. Like if it's like, if you're like, you know, maybe put in a little more of the effort to give us the good stuff.
I'm with you 100% of that. I think tribal councils are way too bloated and that almost nothing interesting happens at the tribal council up until they start to vote.
Yeah. I mean, 10 minutes is just too long. I mean, and it was 10 minutes a couple episodes ago.
Of a 42 minute show. Right.
Yeah. 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 It's 25% of the show. It's just, and nothing is said, like nothing is said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Here is a question that is from IKMS. What does IKMS have to say?
All right. IKMS wants to know, after all that clamor for James's advantage, it mysteriously died out this week. What do you think did James get to do? What do you think that James did to get that big target off his back? I mean, that is a great question. Like what happened? You know, for last week, it's like, oh my gosh, we vote out James. He's got this thing. Let's all shuffle. I mean, as you noted, like everyone was shuffling their advantages around. Now it's like, okay, whatever.
Well, I think the biggest thing that happened was that Janine's advantage got quote unquote voted out of the game. And so I think it's unclear as far as I know, if James knows about Carla's advantage. So you have Cody's advantage, which like was in Jesse's possession. And we don't know if that got switched around. And then the only other thing in the game was the vote steal. So there was just less sort of scrambling about it.
Yeah. I mean, they could have shown us, but it would have been too much work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to get to all that tribal council.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, anything else about tonight's episode that you want to address?
I mean, you know, great episode for Owen. We didn't really talk about him.
Congratulations,
you know,
Owen winning immunity.
One immunity where
voting correctly
really counted. Yeah. You know, yeah, just it was fun to see him. I mean, yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, not the most exciting round of Survivor that we've seen. But again, like, I think that, you know, all of these, you know, explosions need to go off eventually here as we get down to the final 10 and two tribal councils coming up next week. Stephen, I do want to talk about something that I found out about tonight. You know, very sad to hear about the passing of one of the people that I got to play Survivor with. Way back, it was 20 years ago this month that I was out in the Amazon rainforest with Roger Sexton, and I found out tonight by way of you know, it's been passed around on the internet, and then of course in our group chat with the cast that everybody got wind tonight that Roger had passed away a couple of weeks ago, and very sad to hear about his passing. And Roger was somebody who, he was an original for sure, that he was somebody who, you know, came out to the, to play in the game, was very much the person who was sort of like set in his ways. I think that when they found him in casting, they knew that he was going to be somebody who was going to bring a lot of conflict into the show. And, you know, he certainly did. He was a really good sport about everything because, you know, that there, like, he certainly, like, had moments in the show that, you know, he could have, like, taken, like, in a, you know, very angry way, that he always, like, was very, like, good natured and was a good sport, especially, you know, there were a lot of us, especially a lot of us of the younger people sort of like, you know, making fun. And he was, you know, just a really good sport at everything. He embraced the idea of being the bossy one. He would sign like autographs of like the bossy one, Roger Essex. And so he was somebody who, you know, really had went through a lot in his life. He was a Marine. He went to Vietnam. He had, you know, the most terrible thing happen to him that you could ever imagine, in that he lost a daughter who was a teenager. I believe she was he had a daughter who was 16 when she passed away. And that was something that I think that, you know, just, you know, any parents, well, you know, worst nightmare. So he went through a lot in his life. He was somebody who was, you know, super active, was a skier, mountain biker, did, you know, all sorts of, like, loved the idea of, you know, being active. I remember him and Butch arguing about Butch was going to join the AARP. And he's like, you know, like, what are you doing, Butch? Can't be like that. And so, you know, he really did want to like experience adventures. That's why I think he ended up on the show. You know, we had some really fun moments, you know, in the game with him. I really do appreciate the time that I got to spend with him. I really owe him a lot in that. He looked at me early on and said, "Hey, you're with us. These other guys, you know, Ryan and Daniel, these guys are no good. You're contributing. You're part of the group." Ended up buying me enough time for me to stick around and ultimately, you know, do a lot of things that were dreams come true for me. So I am always appreciative of that. I was going through my phone earlier tonight, Stephen. I found the picture of me and him from my finale that I wanted to bring up. Mm-hmm. And this is like a classic Roger of like, he's definitely giving me the what for. he's like, hey, listen, you stupid idiot. Yeah. Like, what do you think you're pulling? But he was, you know, just, you know, an original for sure. He came out to my house. The last time I ever saw him was 2012. We did a podcast. Maybe it was 2013. 10-year anniversary of Survivor of the Amazon. Came out to my apartment. Came on a live podcast with us and talked about the season. You know, I think he did think it was really cool to be on the show. And so very sad to hear about his passing. I had no idea he wasn't doing well. And so My thoughts are certainly with his family, Roger Sexton from Survivor, the Amazon. All right.
That was a lovely testimonial. Yeah, that was beautiful, Rob.
Yeah. You know, it's very, it's, you know, very sad. You know, like, you know, these, you know how it is, Stephen. You get, you know, you're very close with yeah. these people that you went on this, you know, once in a lifetime, sometimes twice in a lifetime experience with these people. I've been thinking about this, you know, a lot lately, just going out there. You know, it was 20 years ago this month that we were out there. And, you know, it's you know, an experience that I personally am, you know, so grateful for, that, you know, I got picked to go out and do this thing. And really every positive thing that's ever happened to me in the rest of my life was somehow a direct result of me going out and doing this thing. And so, you know, you just bonded with these people for, you know, it's like, you know, it's you randomly like some force at a CBS office, you know, pick these people, put them together. And for the rest of your lives, you're, you know, linked with these people.
Yeah. And Roger, for you especially, was such like a, you know, so much a part of your story. You know, obviously your, you know, great Casey Kasem confessional mm-hmm. was about him. And, you know, you voting him out at the merge was just one of those defining acts that kind of set up your game. So even if he was an antagonist for you and someone you feuded with, like mm-hmm. you feel so close to those people, especially sometimes when they're your rivals, you know, where you're like, I'm like bonded to this person in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, he was somebody who, you know, like, you know, I, you know, personally, like, you know, have regrets about, how, like, you know, antagonistically, you know, I treated him, when, you know, he had never done anything. Like, he thought of me as like a nice kid who, just happened to be, you know, part of the group and had no idea that I was, you know, working against him. And so, you know, I do feel, you know, it's a game and everybody knows what's going on, but I do, you know, feel badly about that, but, you know, very sad to hear about his passing here tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about what else is going on here in the world of Survivor on Rob has a podcast. Of course, we have brought you through the Survivor Know-It-Alls. I'll have an exit interview with Janine, and hopefully she will be forthright and honest.
can't trust
about everything
yeah.
that was going on.
What if there's a new reveal about the idol next week? Same idol.
Oh yeah. My God. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And then also, we are going to have Christian Hubicki, joining me on the, recap. Of course, we, you know, send out the link to our patrons to join us live. If you want to be live with Christian Hubicki and ask your questions, during the show, we'll be live at 8 PM Eastern. I'll have Kirsten McInnes on the Survivor Feedback Show. Plus, not to mention everything with the B&B, Survivor Global, I believe, is going to be back this week. Why Blank Lost, and the Survivor Stock Watch, and Bryce and Wendell, who are in Boston tonight, will have the Survivor News edition of the Purple Pants podcast. Plus, we're also going to be checking in with an old friend of the podcast, Scott Porter from Friday Night Lights. Is has a brand new Friday Night Lights rewatch coming up on Podcast fun. One. He's a big Survivor fan, and he's going to join us to check in and give us his thoughts on the season. That's going to be coming up this weekend on robsawebsite.com.
Jason Street.
Yes, QB1. That's right. Yeah. Then, of course, I will get into everything from The Amazing Race later on tonight. I will switch over and maybe start watching that after tonight's show. And then in the morning, I'll be back with Jessica Leese and Mike Bloom to break down everything that happens on the next episode of The Amazing Race with an exit interview as well, assuming it's an elimination leg of The Amazing Race, Stephen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Yeah. Plus, also, I will talk about the real Love Boat now.
I thought that was canceled.
Nope. Not canceled. It has graduated, Stephen.
Wow.
It has graduated from a boring broadcast only TV show to a streamer.
Wow, streaming, that's the future.
Streaming, prestige reality TV show.
Oh my gosh.
The Real Love Boat, available on Paramount Plus. I'll be back together with Jenny Autumn and Kirsten McInnes for not just a season one, episode 5 recap, which is very generous. That implies the season 2. Okay. A season 1, episode 5 and 6 recap.
Wow. Okay. Two for the price of one.
Two for the price of one. A twofer coming up on the Real Love Boat episode recap. Okay. Oh, check this out. Boy, how exciting is this? That, of course, all season long, Asia and Mary have been covering Love is Blind. And it looks like that they've got a great guest. Our friend Omer Zahir is going to join them to talk about the finale. By the way, did you catch during Survivor tonight a commercial for Love is Blind? So they have Netflix taking out time during Survivor. So looking forward to hearing what Omer has to say about
Rob, I have a question. At the live show, I noticed a lot of people wearing the ostrich shirt. Was Omer just like come? Did he just come with like a bunch of ostrich shirts?
I
like,
have to distribute? No idea. I am presuming that he had I am presuming that he had a suitcase full of ostrich t-shirts.
What? Well, now I really wish I'd gone.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can get one. I'm sure. It seems like he has bought them in bulk.
I don't want to like after the fact be like one of those people who's like, hey, can I have an ostrich t-shirt? You know, you want it to like be part of the moment, like getting the ostrich t-shirt at the event.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I think it's a missed opportunity. I think it's something I'll regret forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Sorry, Steven.
Yeah.
Okay. And then coming up on Tuesday night, it's going to be, can you believe it, Steven? The 100th Rob Has a Podcast patron cast. 100 months I've gotten together and taken calls from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And this will be the 100th time I will be live for a patron cast. It'll be a special event coming up on Tuesday night. So patrons, get ready. I believe that we're going to kick it off maybe at 6 p.m. Eastern with maybe a patron family feud. Okay.
Wow.
And then go right into a patron cast right after that. That's going to be a big patron night coming up on Tuesday. If you are not already a part of our Rob Has a Podcast patron community, you can jump in anytime at robhasawebsite.com/patron, where we've got
Rob. Yeah. Hey Rob, do you remember the family feud that was Wine and Cheese versus Dirty 30?
Yes, of course. I was actually very upset that night. I felt like, and this is sure the kinds of things that I talk about on Patreon cast and Patreon 5 for 5 when I really like reveal like my innermost insecurities.
Oh, no.
I felt like I had worked very hard, and I felt like that there were people that did not take it very seriously.
Well, there was a lot of technical problems, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was a consistent issue with just, you know, getting the technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, now, I mean, obviously now you got a family feud, you know, tech.
Now we've got it. Now we've got it down pat. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was, yeah, must've been what 20, I think probably early 2016, if I had to guess, when that was. So yeah. What is that? 8 years ago? God, holy moly.
No, that's okay. six years ago.
Okay. Thank goodness. Yeah. All right. Robswebsite.com/patron. Check out the Patron 5 for 5. Access to our patron community on Facebook and Discord. Call in to patron shows. Get access to our live shows with the survivors on Thursdays and much more. That's all at robswebsite.com/patron. Make sure you subscribe to Rob's Podcast. robswebsite.com/subscribe. Steven, anything fun coming up for you?
Yeah, I do have something fun, Rob. I am a coach in the latest.
No, that was a different person you played Survivor with.
Well,
assistant coach.
In the latest latest season of Expedition Online, which is an online reality game, I am one of the coaches for the team of survivors, and the other coach is Coach.
Wait, hold on.
I'm back playing.
Up. Boop, 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 boop. Okay, yeah. What's happening?
It's an online reality game. You're familiar with these, right?
Yes. What's Expedition Online?
It is one of the online reality game, probably the premier one, since Coach and I are involved. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Adam Klein has been a coach. Janet has been a coach. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They approached me. I get to play for a charity. I'm playing for Martha's Table, which is a local DC charity that gives food and necessities to families in need. And I've got like Coach and I drafted like respective like teams from the applicants, and now we're facing off, you know, or they're facing off, and occasionally, you know, I'll get emails with people are asking for my advice for strategic decisions they're making. It's so fun. I'm really enjoying it.
Wow. You blew my mind.
I know.
Yeah.
And but the coach against coach, I mean, you know, he's like a professional, so I'm really the underdog here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you very much. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yes. Okay. Anything else, Steven?
That's the big news.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, Stephen, it's always a pleasure to get together on these Wednesday. I hope it can compete with your Thursday nights playing Fortnite.
Yeah. I mean, no, but you know, it's fine to be here.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. No, this is the highlight of my week, getting to talk to you. You know, all week I just like sit in this room.
You just wait. You just count down. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here tonight for another edition of the Know It Alls. Should be some fun Survivor podcast coming up on Thursday. Thanks again, everybody. Take care of a good one. Bye.
Bye.